What did most of the members of the committee want to talk about with you on Wednesday?
Well, we talked about several items. We talked about the restructuring effort. We also talked about the size of government and what that size meant in terms of federal employees, contractors, and the like. It's a good hearing. We had good attendance, and I have to note that all four panel members were fellows at the National Academy of Public Administration. So it shows you that when it comes to these issues, that the Academy is where it's at.
You told the committee to be most successful, reorganizations should not focus solely on structure, but consider changing processes to expand interagency coordination mechanisms. Sounds like you're talking there about changing culture a lot. Is that true?
Well, it's culture, and it's also about changing the work. You know, if you're going to just move the boxes around, it's not going to work. You have to look at what the actual work is being done, and that the organizational changes that have to take place have to be strengthened and bolstered by additional approaches to improve the public management. And in my testimony, I outlined what some of those approaches were. If it's a strategic realignment, application of a smart, lean government approach, better organizing data, measuring productivity.
Smart, lean government, I noticed, is capitalized. It's a concept. It's not just two adjectives and a noun. So talk about what that concept is.
Well, the principles are taking a holistic or an across-government approach at looking how government programs are actually delivered. In government speak, that's taking an enterprise architecture approach at examining that what we call the interrelationships of information, people, technology, and process. And I gave an example when I testified. I said, why don't you look at trade promotion activities? And you wouldn't just look solely at the International Trade Administration, but you would examine trade promotion activities and the expenditures for those agencies across the spectrum of government departments and agencies supporting foreign trade. And this approach could identify areas where coordination can be improved, government activities could be consolidated, and could improve how programs are actually operated, measured, and managed. So you would look at, you know, the average citizen really doesn't care who delivers the service, just as long as that program service is delivered efficiently and effectively. And if you can cut out unneeded and unnecessary duplication and overlap in the delivery of the service, you achieve two things. One, you achieve you make good on that promise of that government service, and also you can save money on the way of doing it.
You mentioned something interesting there that I think agencies are starting to get a better handle on, and that is that concept that the citizen doesn't care where they get it, they just care that when they get it, they get what they need or what they believe they should be getting.
It's an interesting concept that, you know, we're really stovepiped in the federal government, and we look at how, you know, what a department or agency is supposed to do, but oftentimes that will overlap or duplicate what another department or agency is supposed to do. And if you throw into the mix how these things are delivered across the government spectrum, just not federally, but also on the state and local basis, you could really find some efficiencies.
Now, you referenced the GAO report on duplication quite a few times. Is that a blueprint, or is that a starting point, or is that just a reference point that kind of indicates where we are right now?
I would say it's a good reference point, and outlines further potential waste and duplication and overlap. Sometimes you want this duplication. Congress may expressly and intentionally have some kind of overlap and duplication, such as, you know, belts and suspenders in order to prevent a program failure. But if you're going to have this type of duplication, have it intentionally. Don't have it just because one committee or one sector of Congress put this in a bill and then all of a sudden, you know, 5 years down the line, another similar agency or program pops up through another committee or through another process. If you're going to have it intentionally. But if it's not intentional, you have to look at that, decide if it's needed. And if you can shed that responsibility and shift it to another department or agency that can perform that function in a smarter, leaner, more effective way, then it should be done.
That theme is a theme that I heard from some of your colleagues on this panel, Robert Shea, Max Steyer, Paul Light, also testifying in addition to two members of the Senate, Mark Warner and Ron Johnson, at this hearing of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee that were with you, Dan. That theme of accidental versus intentional duplication or backup systems or whatever you want to call it. I guess that requires more than just let's cut out one or the other. It requires really a rethinking of how the government provides a particular service to a citizen.
Well, it's time that we rethink this. A lot of these government structures have been in place since the mid-20th century, if not before that. And we're entering into the second decade of the 21st century, but we have these old structures that are 50, 60, if not older in time. And it's time to take a long, hard look at how we deliver government services. And we haven't had an opportunity to do that yet. I think the president's proposal to merge those trade-related functions in commerce and USTR open up this opportunity. But we really need to take a long, hard look at government as a whole, because the way that we have it structured and the way we deliver those programs is not sustainable into the future.